Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Ruthie Fraser. She's the author of Stack Your Bones. And this is a book to be taken in small bites, isn't it, Ruthie?
Yes, definitely. My idea was to have a book that was really accessible to all people and also something that people could experience, like you said, in bite-sized pieces. So the book is composed of 100 lessons or experiences or activities, and you can do them in order, or you can just open the book to any page and do one. And the experiences could take as little as 2 minutes. So, but they also can be really powerful, even though they're simple and brief.
Mm-hmm.
Ruthie,
who did you have in mind when you wrote the book? What were you thinking of? Everyone?
One of the things that makes this book special is the inclusivity of it. So it's really for anyone who has a body. It's everyone. I suppose one of the constraints is that to get involved with the book, you need to have some curiosity about the fact that we are embodied creatures as humans. Like, we have bodies. There's no escaping that. And so if you're curious about that, then you could get something out of the book.
Mm-hmm. Now, your earlier background, you were a dancer. Are you still a lifelong dancer?
Yeah, I grew up studying classical ballet very seriously from a very young age. And so dance was a central part of my childhood. And then even my adolescence, and I danced a lot in college. So I've always been really interested in movement and expression through the body and through kinesthetics.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I found yoga as a practitioner and then as a teacher. And then from there, went on to body work, specifically structural integration. And then from there, I got into working with the psyche and the voice dialogue work. But really, the psyche and the body, or another way you could say it is the mind and the body, they're so connected. They're not even two separate things that are connected. They're actually one thing. And in structural integration, we have this word body-mind, one word.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, from dance to yoga to body work to the psyche, but it's all involving the body-mind as one word.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did Iyengar yoga, which is basically like the ballet of yoga. It's so precision that it's very, very kind of right or wrong. Is it that way with how we hold our bodies as well?
Well, let's back up. So yes, I have a background in Iyengar yoga. That's not exactly the yoga I teach because I'm not certified by them, but I'm most influenced by that method as a student, as a practitioner of yoga. And I agree that Iyengar yoga is precise, although I don't know if I agree that it's about right and wrong. I think in Iyengar yoga, you might try an activity with the body or a particular technique, and then you'll do a really deep dive with a lot of intention and a lot of discipline into that particular technique you're studying in the moment. But the next day, you might try a totally different technique that feels like it is the opposite of what you did the day before.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that this way is right and this way is wrong. It's like, let's commit to what we're practicing right now and fully investigate it. And then you might switch it up and try something totally different. So I think it's precision, but without a sense of, like, there's only one way. It's actually a very playful method. There's a lot of experimentation and investigation. So to answer your question about is it the same with the body and how we hold ourselves, I think I have a similar approach in that if people ask me, oh, should I hold myself this way? Is this right? I'll more say, well, what does that feel like? What does that do for you? And So there are times when I'll suggest, this something that you're doing is wrong. But usually it's just if people are tremendously overworking. So a lot of people think that posture and body carriage is something that you contrive or you do with muscle effort. Like, I should lift this and squeeze this and remember to harden in this place. And actually, so much of good posture is the opposite of that. It's actually about softening and relaxing into the ground and undoing a lot of the gripping and the patterns. And so if someone is being really effortful or muscly, I might say, let go of that. That's not helpful right now. But on the other hand, there might be a context in which that type of posturing might be useful if that person is doing it in a sport or in their job, which is laborious.
For those of us that are just sitting here right now, could you take us through just a little kind of meditation to help us feel that our body and our mind are connected?
Oh, wow. How many of you are there?
Oh, no, this is like, I mean, for the whole audience and the, but for us too, yes.
For the listeners, I get it.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I would say, sure, I can do that. The first thing would be to just bring your attention to the landscape of your body. So to feel your whole body from the toe tips to your fingertips to the top of your head, and have a sense of feeling the inside of your body and the exterior of your body, and basically to feel the boundaries of your body. So there's somewhere in space that's part of your body, and then right next to it, it's not part of your body. So feeling then your body and the space around you.
It brings that feeling right into your body, where most of us that are, you know, busy at work or doing whatever, are just only remembering that we have a head that's carrying it all forward. So it's very nice to feel that feeling of dropping in.
Definitely. And one of the benefits of hands-on work, manual work, which, you know, the book can't replace that. You know, the book definitely suggests, I like to think of the lessons in the book as seeds that you can plant in your consciousness and in your body. But when I was even, when you were just saying that, I was thinking, yes, it's so helpful to just send our attention and awareness to the body. But actually, when someone else puts hands on your body, then you can really feel your full shape and full dimension. So people are always so surprised by how far the top of their head is from their eyes. There's so much head above your eyes, and we forget. We think we're as tall as our eyes are, you know. So sometimes having hands on you can help you feel your size, size in a good way. In my field, feeling big is a good thing. Culturally, that's kind of strange. But, you know, sometimes it can be wonderful relief to check in with your body, but it can also be painful, because really tuning into your body can mean confronting, you know, fatigue or pain or unresolved injuries or illness. So tuning into the body is, it's a task that actually takes courage. It's not all just a bubble bath. And
right.
It's about making contact with yourself. And ultimately, I think that's a good thing, even if it's challenging at first.
So, Ruthie, when we do take the awareness into our bodies and it doesn't feel like a bubble bath, what kind of ideas can you give us to stay with it, and why?
I think one way to stay with what you find is just to be with sensations without judging them. So if there's a bubbling up of anger or frustration or burning pain or an itching sensation, to see if you can be with it. And it actually takes a lot of practice to sit with discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to sit with other people's discomfort if we can't sit with our own discomfort. So a really good way to practice that skill is to start like with yourself and your own body and your own inner world. So to follow track sensations and try and slow down. And then actually, if I had kept going with the meditation we did, you know, because I was talking about feeling the space of your body and feeling the boundaries of your body and the space around you, the next step would have been to feel the ground or the chair under you, whatever you happen to be resting on. If you're standing, you feel the ground, or if you're sitting, maybe you feel the chair or the couch under you and the ground under your feet as well, to feel the support of whatever you're sitting or standing on. And that's also another good thing to rely on if you're doing some body tracking and feeling what's going on and heightening your awareness internally. If there's difficulty, to relax into the support that you're standing or sitting on can really help people endure the exercise for a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the second part of your question was why do it? And I've always been drawn to deal with and process and metabolize the material that's there. It's like a way of accepting the truth. Because if we don't deal with what's there, it doesn't mean it's not there. You know, like our pain and
yes,
what we hold in the body, it is there. So if we attend to it, address it, and deal with it, number one, it could change for the better, not weigh us down so much. It could also help our physical well-being. You know, dealing with little aches and pains here and there, if we address them, that could help prevent a bigger body problem later on. A lot of times when people have a big injury or like their back went out or something like that, they'll say, oh yeah, I felt hints of this coming for the past 10 years. You know?
Right, yeah.
And then also just for personal growth, you know, we don't want to shove the difficult things under some imaginary rug inside of us because it will actually call out. You know, I don't think there's any such thing as hiding from those things. It's undealt with material, we will still have an effect on us in some way. It might be a bad mood or projecting onto someone else, or headache or backache.
Right. Hold that thought, Ruthie. We're just going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about those.